Next up, Desiree Helligers interviews Huy Ong, Executive Director of Opal Environmental Justice Oregon, about their organizing work with Bus Riders Unite and about TriMet's 2018 budget proposal, which includes $11 million for a new Rose Quarter Transit police station and jail, as well as ramped-up policing of fare evasion. This interview was pre-taped on April 5th.
My guest today is Huy Ong with Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And we're actually meeting in the offices of Opal, so I guess I'm joining you.
No, it's great.
You want to tell us a little bit about Opal?
Yeah, so for over 10 years, we've been organizing to build power in our communities for environmental justice and civil rights. We actually were founded to address air quality issues in North and Northeast Portland. But as good organizers, people that have, knocked on doors and are talking about air quality in North and Northeast Portland, we were finding that the community were actually lifting up a lot of transportation needs as, development was happening. And as, an environmental justice organization, we listened to the community and our folks and, actually started to do a lot of transportation work. Environmental justice is an interdisciplinary practice where we have to draw the connections of different issues. So although we initially started around air quality, we started heavily working around transportation and what it might mean to also then to address some of the housing issues even way back then, 10 years ago.
So you were really active in the inclusionary zoning campaign.
Over, I believe those three sessions, we led the statewide coalition to remove the ban on inclusionary housing policy options for local jurisdictions and, recently passed the implementation phase of it in Portland. It was a big victory knowing that we are in a current housing crisis and our communities feel it, both that are transit-dependent and low-income folks of color. Those are the communities we organize are being pushed further and further out of the urban core and center. At Opal, we really lift up the stories of those directly impacted. So having both renters, low-income folks, folks of color, talk about the intersectionality of the housing crisis where we see some of our members having to move not just once a year, but multiple times in a single year, has real impacts on stability and family and security.
In the face of that kind of gentrification, people being forced out of the core, affordable transit becomes that much more critical. Mm-hmm. And so you've done a lot of organizing with Bus Riders Unite, which has been a huge campaign. And I was rather shocked to discover that a transit riders jail is being proposed.
Yeah, so Bus Riders Unite is Portland's transit riders union. So low-income folks, folks of color that are transit dependent, really found Bus Riders Unite as a space to really engage in the issues around service, access, accessibility, and have identified a wide range of different campaigns over the years, and with direct action and organizing have won really amazing things. We've won an extension for the bus transfers a few years back. We've won $1.3 million mitigation fund. That's annual, which is a huge victory. And as they were rolling out this e-fare card transition, without the input from directly impacted folks and riders themselves, we actually had a push on TriMet to address a lot of concerns of the ability to still use cash, the cost of the fare, and then the actual makeup of who rides the service itself. So the push for having a multi-rider card so folks that are traveling with family could actually just use one card. We saw some positive, some positive victories come out of that. And then that transitioned into us moving towards the development of a low-income fare. So Bus Riders Unite did both research and initiated a process over almost 2 years ago to actually push on China to create a low-income fare. So we're seeing some progress because I think there was some energy being put to building up a low-income fare task force, which initially didn't have any community organizations on it, and Opal organized both Metro and TriMet to make sure that there were seats for, the constituents that actually use the service to actually be part of the process to build out the low-income fare. And I think that was a conversation that we saw some real fruits. So it was a shock to us that in the February board meeting of TriMet, that where they reviewed the budget for 2018, that we discovered an $11 million, a little bit over $11 million transit police station being built near the Rose Quarter. Their justification is that they are leaving a current lease, or would leave or break a lease that would save them money. And we just have larger concerns, because if you talk to riders, and particularly low-income riders and riders of color, who has disproportionately been impacted by the ticketing and the citations of fare evasions.
And the elimination of a free ride zone.
In downtown Portland a few years back.
2012, yeah.
It was very disconcerting that we were having conversations about a low-income fare where TriMet was at the table, where the fare program would cost about $12 million, and then to see in a budget a transit police station that cost about the same amount of money being prioritized, and there's no mention in the budget presentation about a low-income fare. So we're at this point where our members, right, have historically really applied the pressure to make sure that riders' voices are heard in decision-making. It's a core principle of ours that directly impacted people have a say in decisions that impact their lives. So those that have felt criminalization and have felt the increased presence of police on and transit police on the system itself, seeing a prioritization, more policing, and the militarization of our transit system is very troubling. So we're gearing up and building out a robust campaign to both lift up the need for the low-income fare to be fully funded, as well as the reprioritization and clarity of why a transit police station is being built, and no mention of a low-income fare. So that's something we're gearing up. We're doing both the base building and organizing, because you're right, a lot of people actually don't know what's happening.
And that's a pretty recent development, right?
Yeah, it's one of those. They'll try to say that, we've been working on this for a few months, and we share something in this memo and talk to any writers, they would never seen that memo, right? So it's like, what is the public engagement, and how are you actually sharing information and providing a space for community input?
So is there already a transit riders police station somewhere when you say that their lease is coming up?
Yeah, there's several transit police stations. Mm-hmm. Some have been built, but resources that would have been better off served in other ways.
So what function do those transit riders stations or police stations play at other sites? Like, are people who are found without fare cards, are they detained there? Are they charged there? I mean,
research we're all doing. What's interesting is that they moved it towards the Rose Quarter, where there's a higher percentage of fare evasion that happens. So I think there's some rationale that they have that I think they're trying to be able to ticket and process things quicker, perhaps, or use that as a place to actually build out more of a police presence. We believe transportation is like a right, and fundamentally it connects people to work, to school, to health access, to public services for a lot of transit dependent folks. In our community, it's low-income folks, folks of color, some folks that because of current situations don't have driver's cards or don't have a driver's license, are unable to drive, because we also organize folks with disabilities and folks that are from the elderly community and youth, right? We organize a wide range of folks that are also transit dependent for different reasons. And to have more of a police presence in this day and age is actually the wrong direction. Having more guns on buses is not a good thing. You can ask any person of color, and it's amazing, and it's that TriMet would try to say that riders actually want to see more police presence. And I think more security, and it's one of those things where if you ask a lot of people, you might get a majority of folks saying, more police would be great. But if you talk about very specific communities, folks of color, low-income folks, who have historically been targeted by police and police presence, they'll tell you a totally different story.
Yeah, so it's pretty shocking, too, that you're asking for $12 million for low-income fare, and they're about to spend $11 million on this new transit station.
TriMet is a billion-dollar agency, and if they want to prioritize something, they will find the resources to prioritize it. So we want to see TriMet really look at their budget closely, and we're willing to work with them on multiple levels to, you know, reevaluate the priorities, because if, you know, if they want to actually provide access to low-income folks and address some of the huge needs, where as our folks get pushed out further and further, access to affordable transportation and what good bus services is critical to like hold the line around this attack on poor people. So it's one of those things where, you know, as an agency, you know, if you prioritize it, you can find the ways to actually leverage your budget to meet the needs of, you know, your riders.
Right, and certainly, I mean, from the standpoint of climate change, right, we need to be bolstering up low-impact forms of transportation, right, sustainable forms of transportation rather than limiting them.
Yeah, I think everyone talks about technology. There's a huge push for, like, driverless, you know, EV vehicles, which is all super fun and exciting technology, but let's actually pause a little bit and think about what infrastructures and, like, what mass public transportation can also do to impact our carbon footprint, but also to connect the city in a very different way, to work, you know, to jobs, to schools. It's a lifeline for a lot of folks, and, you know, sometimes people don't have the resources, so they ferry bait, right? Because they still have to make their appointments, and they still have to make their, you know, make it to their job on time, you know? So those are all like critical interconnected issues. So we work on housing, we work on, you know, access to green space, and what community power looks like is so critical, because, you know, we're the targeted communities when it comes to decisions around budgets and resources.
Yeah, so how can our listeners join in pushing back against this proposed budget item?
Yeah.
And for, you know, just more inclusive transportation.
Yeah, sign up, you know, opalpdx.org is a, you know, ways for folks to volunteer and get engaged. We're on the buses organizing and talking to riders. We're in the communities, and we go to places where we know low-income folks. And as folks gather to discuss issues and listen to folks and their concerns. We're organizing both testimony, so we encourage both individual folks to show up. If you're part of organizations, you know, or community groups, we've heard from some communities that there's concerns. Like, we actually don't actually know, and there's not a definitive stance that TriMet has taken around their work with ICE, right, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, right? We want, you know, our transportation system to also be a place where it is accessible for all of our communities. And although they say that they don't cooperate with ICE, there's actually nothing definitive. They always, you know, fall back onto like the state statute that says, you know, we want to cooperate with ICE agents. But cooperation could mean a lot of different things, right?
So even just not having enough fare at any given moment could put somebody in the pipeline for deportation now, given this move to deport people for really minor offenses.
Yeah, we really got to identify, like, what are the ways our communities actually end up engaging with law enforcement? What are the mechanisms? What are the low-level offenses that get people in front of different law enforcement agencies? But then, who knows what type of collaboration or engagement they have with other law enforcement agencies, right? And that's a real concern, right? Because it's actually not clear in TriMet stance what that does or does not look like.
So I just want to get in a quick plug for the People's Climate March, which you've also been working on, right?
Yeah.
So coming up on April 29th.
So OPAL is super excited that we, working with the Oregon Just Transition Alliance, which is an alliance of community organizations that are organizing frontline communities across the state of Oregon that are centered around building out organizing capacity in low-income communities and communities of color to address a wide range of issues, to call for a People's Climate Movement as a sister mobilization to the national People's Climate Movement happening April 29th. And locally here, we want to lift up frontline communities and the intersectionality of the different people of color-led campaigns. April 29th is 100 days out of this administration, But we know this administration is part of a long legacy of climate inaction, as well as policies that has directly impacted frontline communities. Frontline communities are communities that are the least contributors of climate change, but are hit first and worst by climate inaction. So, you know, we want to draw the connection of, you know, what does it mean for folks engaging in resiliency work on the ground around housing, transportation, immigration. We will definitely be lifting up this transit police station as a core issue as we're talking about the economy that we currently are part of and the economy we want, right? Shared with. And you'll, if you hang around Opal long enough, you'll start hearing us talk about a just transition from what we call an extractive, exploitative economy to one that's cooperative and regenerative. And that's built through a framework that transitions us away from the bad to the good in a way that centers frontline communities making decisions of what that transition looks like.
You've been listening to an interview with Huey Ong, Executive Director of Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. While a March 8th TriMet press release about the 2018 proposed budget specifically addresses what it calls safety enhancements, the press release notably makes no mention of the proposed $11 million to be allocated to the Transit Riders Police Station Jail and ramped up policing of fare evasion. In a brief phone interview, TriMet spokesperson Roberta Alstead took issue with descriptions of the new facility as a jail, but she confirmed that it would, in fact, include 2 to 3 holding cells. I asked Ms. Alstead if the new facility would include space to interrogate people who are being detained. She took issue with my use of the word interrogate, but acknowledged that, yes, contrast to the existing facility, the new space would have room devoted specifically to the purpose of questioning people who've been detained. Public hearing on the TriMet budget is scheduled for Wednesday, April 26th at 8 a.m. in the White Stag Building at 70 Northwest Coach Street. Opal will be hosting art and sign-making parties to prepare for the meeting. For more information, you can email Opal at info@opalpdx.org or call 503-774-4503. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Old Mill Variety Hour.
What you think happens to the money from your taxes? The government's the addict. With $1 billion a week, kill brown people habit. And even if you ain't on the front line, when Master yell crunch time, you right back at it. Man, look at how you hustling backwards. At the end of the year, add up what they subtracted. 3 out of 12 months, your salary pay for that, man.